Okay, boys and girls, it's story time with your Uncle Ray. This week's story is about being a professional in the outdoor industry. I'm a very blessed person. My passion has become what I do for a living. A lot of people can't say that. So I am very, very fortunate and blessed to be able to do this. But there's another side of this that the hunting public doesn't see. And it's not like a turkey hunting professional gives seminars, radio, and been in magazines and such as any kind of a rock star. Actually, to be quite honest with you, I've never really understood anyone wanting to get my autograph. I do it because people ask for it. I'm no different than anyone else. But when you work with the public, all of those in our profession can tell you about this. There's a lot of things out there that you don't see. Now, before I get into that, I will tell you, I have met some of the most wonderful people out here in the outdoor industry, both in the hunting side of the industry and in the public, some that have become lifelong friends and family. But there's a few out there that just doesn't have all the marbles in one bag. And that's kind of what I want to talk about, because I don't think a lot of you know this goes on. Some years ago, I was telling the outdoor media folks in one of my media camps about this. They didn't believe me, so I brought the answering machine cassette tape so they could hear some of the things that goes on behind the scenes. You know, a classic example, traveling, barnstorming, doing seminars, was up in Macomb, Illinois. Had about 800 people in the seats in our dealer that handled the product we were selling. Had about 30 feet of booth space set up selling turkey calls and box calls and mouth calls and all kinds of accessories. And those days, we'd do a two-hour program, full two-hour seminar. In the early days of seminars across the country when turkey hunting was fairly new. And I'd do an hour, then take a 30-minute break and give everybody a break to get out of the seats and go back and, of course, buy turkey calls and accessories and then go back up. Well, I was back at the table selling turkey calls and visiting with the turkey hunters. A guy went up to the podium up on the stage and started putting his stuff up on the lectern. So I walked up there and said, "Hey, how you doing?" He said, "Oh, pretty good." I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm getting ready to do the second half of the show. I'm going to help Ray out." And I said, "Oh, okay." Because, see, boys and girls, I've seen this before. So I go back to the table and sit down. It's getting time for the show to start, and lights are going down for the video projection and the slide projector to come up. And the guy from the sporting goods store goes, "Hey, who's that on the stage? What are you doing sitting here?" I said, "Well, I don't know." He said he's going to do the second half of the show. So who am I to judge? So he went up there to get him, and the guy kind of started arguing with him. So several of the workers went up there, and the guy started blowing his turkey call. And as they grabbed him by the arm and talking to him, getting him off the stage, the audience started cheering and clapping. And doing so, this guy thought they were clapping for him. So he was calling more and more. So they're dragging him off the stage, and he leaves the stage doing a kiki run. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. But you got to think about that. Here's an individual that wants to be a turkey hunting seminar speaker, and the public's so bad that he actually, in his mind, goes up and starts setting up on the stage so he can do a seminar. I've had guys follow us, meet us at the airports, and you'd see him standing off, and then you'd see him at the event, and then you see him when you go home in the airport, and it's kind of weird. I mean, you know, we're just hunters. This just doesn't really fit. It's like the guys in the seminars that come up and tell me what I did wrong in the seminar and how they would do it different. Lots of times, guys will come up after a seminar and say, "You know, that wasn't too bad, but I would have done this and done this, and I would have done it this way." And I get the same thing with radio programming as well. I get emails and letters all the time how they would be doing the outdoor show and how I'm doing it all wrong. And that's fine, you know. I can take constructive criticism, but the letters and emails and when I talk to the hunting public at shows and seminars and conventions, the good folks, the sheer numbers of people that appreciate, that come up and tell me they appreciate what I do, far outnumbers these that we're talking about here today in story time. Years ago, working the Santless Boat and Sports Show, I was in the booth of a sporting goods dealer, a good friend of mine, working the booth, and big crowds back in the day. And this guy came into the booth, inside the booth, and started blowing a turkey call. And I said, "Can I help you?" He goes, "No." I said, "I'm just here to help Ray out and work the booth a little bit." Started blowing his turkey call and talking to people, showing them turkey calls. So I went and sat down. My great friend and fellow hunt brother, Denny Dennis, comes over and goes, "Who's that?" I said, "I don't know." He said he's working the booth for Ray I. So Denny goes over and said, "What are you doing in here?" And he says, "Well, I'm working for Ray I." He says, "You know who that is over there?" And the guy goes, "No." He says, "Well, that's Ray I. Now get out of my booth." So the guy looks at Denny and he goes, "Okay, I'll work the aisle." So the guy goes outside the booth, stands in the aisle. People are bumping into him. He's blowing his turkey call and giving little turkey hunting lessons out in the aisle. No, but people are just like looking at him walking. He just does this all evening. Go home that night. I'm going to work. Spend the night home on Saturday night and drive back up for Sunday for the show, take a little break. And at that time, we had home phones, of course. I had an unlisted number. The phone goes off at 7:30 in the morning. I pick it up, and it's this guy that was in the booth. He called me just to tell me that he couldn't make it to work today because he blew his turkey calls so much his back teeth grew and he couldn't get the call in his mouth. Now, if that doesn't scare you, nothing will. Then there's the time that we were at a celebrity hunt in Warsaw, Missouri. My brother Marty was driving the truck, and my cameraman Dale Kuhn was by the door, and we would take a little tour around to see where we were going to be hunting, and went down through the parks area and just looked at the area, and this truck come racing up behind us and roared up next to us, and he had where the cattle rack goes and the stake holes in the back of the truck, you know, there's three on each side, he had stakes in there, and he had wires running across both ways, lengthwise and crossways, and on there was old crinkled up turkey feet from dead turkeys, turkey feet hanging all over, swinging in the wind, swinging as the truck moved on the back of his truck, and he pulled up, and Marty, he started honking the horn, waving Marty down. Marty stopped, and I kind of crunched down in the seat. Marty leaned over and goes, "Yeah, what's up?" And the guy goes, "You seen Ray I?" And Marty says, my brother says, "Oh, he's around." And I'm going, "Let's go, Marty, let's go." The guy says, "Well, I just want to tell him with this hunt for the guys that's coming in that do this for a living, the local guys have got corn out, and they're going to try to beat him and say they're better than they are. They're going to show them." And Marty goes, "Oh, okay. Well, I'll let him know when I see him." And I go, let's go. My cameraman's kind of blocking his view from me, and he goes, "And the other thing is I just wanted to be a guide." And then the guy starts crying. "I just wanted to be a guide, and they wouldn't let me be a guide. And I can guide, and I need to talk to Ray I." I go, let's go, Marty. Marty starts truck. He goes, "Well, we need to get going. Sorry about that." And the guy's crying worse, and he's kind of pulling his truck up next to our truck. And the guy goes, "I can guide. I got ground." Brother Marty turns the truck off, looks out the window, and says, "How much ground you got?" One of the all-time classics was in Illinois one year with Phil Borgeli, Peter Matteson, myself, and several other cameramen and outdoor writers. Went to a hunt, and the owner of the outfitting business, was him and his wife were wonderful folks. But when we went over to the old farmhouse, which was a lodge, this guy answered the door in an Elvis Presley robe with elf shoes and a Civil War hat on, and told us we had to leave everything in the truck, and showed, opened the refrigerator, and he had a bottle of Coke and a pound of bologna. He said this was his, leave it alone, nothing else in the refrigerator. But this was one of those guys that took us out and showed us around, and I could see that was going to come to the point where he's going to say, "We need to go here because this is where he hunts." So we went a couple different places without him, and his feelings was hurt, and I said, "Well, sure." He says he had this place we needed to go to get a show, and I said, "Okay." So my cameraman is with me, and we're going in, and the guy shows up. He's in a Civil War uniform with an old Civil War hat with a signet and stuff on it. He's got a bedroll on and a walking stick. We start going into this place, and we're running a little late because when we got to the gate, he was looking back at the house, went to the gate, and a dog came down and grabbed him by the leg and had him by the leg and was shaking his leg, and he was trying to kick the dog off. And apparently this dog would do this every time he'd go to the gate because he put these pants on that had tear marks and blood stains on them where he says, "I always wear these pants at this gate because of that dog." So we start marching in, it starts getting daylight, and this turkey starts gobbling. And my cameraman says, "Hey, what about that bird?" And the guy says, "No, come on." I said, "Leave him alone. He's got a place he wants us to go. He's going to take us to a spot where he's been hunting to see if we can kill that turkey." What my cameraman didn't realize, this has happened hundreds of times. It happened in Missouri where they'd take me down by the river, and there'd be a river and a bluff, and the turkeys would be on top of the bluff and a mile away and gobble. And then the person that took me down there said, "See, I didn't think you could call those either." It happens everywhere. And I said, "What this guy is doing, he's taking us someplace where he can't call a turkey to see if I can call it. So let's just play the game long enough to get things done until we can get set up to do a show." So we're marching along and we hear other turkeys gobbling and he keeps walking. So we cross his fence. It says, "Keep out." I said, "Are we supposed to go in here?" He goes, "Oh, we're okay." There's a building there, a shed with the warning, "Keep out," signs all over it. We walk around that and go across an old bean field. We get to this deep ditch, ravine, full of brambles and brush, and this guy just bails off in there. And I look at my cameraman, I go, "So let's just walk around the edge of this thing," because you could see it was just a ditch that came up out of the holler and came up into the field, and you could just walk around to the other side. So we walk around to the other side to cut bean field, and it's still dark, but just starting to break a little false dawn. Get to the other side, and he's down there in the brush, and he comes up through the other side carrying a tow sack, and he gets up there, and my cameraman goes, "Who are you? Davy Crockett?" And you can see the guy, he starts quivering, his head starts shaking, his eyes, and I go, don't. "Don't talk to him. I got this. I said, "Where do you want us to sit? Right here?" He goes, "Yeah." I said, "Okay. Looks like you've been sitting here. You've been hunting here?" "Yeah." "Is there a turkey here that won't come in?" He goes, "Yeah. You want to see if I can call it turkey?" He says, "Yeah." I said, "Great. Yeah, we can do that. Here, I'll sit down here." I get my camera. I said, "You sit over here and you get your camera set up and you just be quiet." So I get him over there and the guy's sitting with a tow sack. So he opens up the tow sack and he goes, "Here, put these on." He starts taking hard hats out of the tow sack. The cameraman goes, "What the?" I said, "Put the hard hat on. Put it on now." So I put on this hard hat. He puts on a hard hat, and our turkey guide puts on a hard hat, and we're sitting there, and starts getting light, and I can see out in the field. Just enough light to see out there, and I can see these big rocks and stuff out there, and I'm looking around, and I'm like, what is going on here? So I sit there a minute, so finally I go, do you mind asking, what are the hard hats for? He goes, what are you, stupid? Do you see the size of those rocks out there? There's a quarry right here, and they start dynamiting at 7:30.
No, I'm utterly mad. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away.
And that's story time this week with your Uncle Ray.
Thanks for joining us for Eye on the Outdoors, award-winning radio show.
Brought to you by Mossberg Quality Firearms, Indian Creek Shooting Systems, quality waterfowl and turkey choke tubes.
Dove Creek Wagyu Cattle Company, home of the best damn beef jerky. Go to DoveCreekWagyu.com.
RTP Outdoors, RTPOutdoors.com.
Thanks for joining us, and always be a positive role model for hunting, gun ownership, and conservation. We'll see you next time around the campfire. Be safe out there in the woods and on the water. Say goodbye, Peanut.
Defend her still today, but there ain't no doubt I love her.